you for calling AAA. May I ask who I'm speaking with?
I'm Lou Bang.
And I am Chava Periwa.
And this is supposed to be Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico.
I think you might have the wrong number then. This is AAA, not Agave Road Trip.
No, ma'am. We know you are AAA. I mean, Chava and I, are supposed to be Agave Road Trip.
So, okay. Go be Agave Road Trip. I can't help you with that.
Well, it says here that you can provide roadside assistance.
Are you stuck on the roadside somewhere?
We are.
Did you blow a tire?
Well, no.
Radiator overheat?
Nope.
Engine die?
Kind of.
Our tank is empty.
Well, we can't help you get gas. That's something you're supposed to be able to handle as a responsible driver.
Well, so I think you clearly have never seen Lou drive. Second, we don't need gas, really.
But you said your tank was empty.
It is, AAA person. It's bereft of listener support.
Agave Road Trip runs on listener support like every other podcast in the Heritage Radio Network.
Sorry, how exactly is this a AAA problem?
Well, if you, operator, enjoy Agave Road Trip, the best way to show your support is to become a member of Heritage Radio Network.
Until a few seconds ago, I'd never even heard of Agave Road Trip.
But now that you have, perhaps you'd like to become a member of the Heritage Radio Network?
You could set up a monthly recurring donation of any amount and choose Agave Road Trip in the designation drop-down menu.
Become a monthly sustaining member at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Yeah, AAA lady, become a monthly sustaining member at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Are you really trolling AAA? That's your fundraising strategy?
Well, it's one of them.
Maybe she'll recommend us to her enemies?
Maybe, but if you stuck around for this ridiculous ad, we hope you'll also help us fill our tank by becoming a monthly sustaining member at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Wait, Lou, did we or didn't we run out of gas?
Agave Road Trip out! Monstruo de Agua Theater is recorded before a captive audience that really just came to hear Agave Road Trip. Hey, Chava! Time to motivate. We're burning daylight.
Come on, Lou. What an unexpected surprise. I thought you weren't back until next month.
I wasn't supposed to be Reposado, Chava, but something came up.
Connie finally kicked you out?
No, man. Mayowell tried to pull me in.
Oh, so Ajolotl was right? She has a crush on you?
Hang on. You met with Ajolote?
What? You met with Mayowell?
No. You first, bro.
Okay, so I'm guessing you already know. But Ajolotl has released this beer that's made with 30% of the fermentable sugars coming from the sap of the uncooked agave.
Right. Monstruo de Agua Blanca de Maguey, it's delicious. And Mayowell's pissed that he's created this new beer that forces her agave babies to do more work to satisfy thirsty gringos across the USA.
Oh, Ajolotl didn't mean any harm. He's just trying to make friends with all of the agave geeks that long to drink pulque north of the border.
Doesn't matter what he meant to do, Chava. He's angered a god.
So what do we do, Joven Lou?
Well, the angel Lou on my one shoulder says, under all of this tension, the truth is, Mayowell and Ajolotl want the same thing, for more people to love and appreciate agave.
And anyone chasing Monstruo de Agua Blanca de Maguey beer is sure to love it, and the agaves it's made from.
Right, but Mayowell is concerned that they will love the agave to death.
So what does Angel Lou says about that?
I don't know. I can't hear him. Because Devil Lou on my other shoulder says, there has to be a way for Agave Road Trip to profit from this fight between Mayowell and Ajolotl.
But Diablo Lou, Ajolotl is your friend.
Hey, Chava, Agave Road Trip isn't just fun and games, okay? It's serious business. And this... Wait, what's that? What's that, Angel Lou? Devil Lou, does that make sense to you? Okay, Chava, I think we've got it.
Whoa, what did they say, Lou? How will we resolve this conflict between Ajolotl and Mayowell and keep the pipeline of Monstruo de Agua Blanca de Maguey beer?
A beer made with 30% of its fermentable sugars coming from the uncooked sap of the agave.
Right, right. Keep the pipeline of Monstruo de Agua Blanca de Maguey beer headed north to all the thirsty agave geeks in the USA.
Well, Chavo, you'll just have to... Tune in next week for the next chapter of Monstruo de Agua Blanca de Maguey Theater, or get updates online on our website or at monstruodeagua.com. In the meantime, strap yourself in for another episode of Agave Road Trip. I'm Lou Bank.
I am Chava Periwan.
And this is Agave Road Trip, the award-winning podcast that helps gringo bartenders better understand agave, agave spirits, and rural Mexico.
And today...
young Chava, today we're going to talk about the Rodney Dangerfield of Mexican spirits.
Whatever that means.
That means Bacanora.
It's a compliment, it's a good thing, it's a bad thing.
It's a good thing, it's a bad thing. Rodney Dangerfield, he was a comedian primarily in the 80s, but, you know, also into the 90s, and I'm sure in the 70s. And his big thing was, no respect, I get no respect. And that's sort of how I feel about Bacanora. It gets no respect. Wait,
before we continue,
yeah.
What the hell is Bacanora?
Oh, I'm sorry. So Bacanora is a spaceship that goes to Mars. Bacanora is an agave spirit, a Mexican agave spirit.
That has its proper DO.
It does. It has a denomination of origin. And, you know, sort of like, okay, everybody says all tequilas are mezcal, but not all mezcals are tequila, right?
Yeah, I've heard that.
And we know that that's inaccurate because you can't be both a mezcal and a tequila.
And a tequila because both are different DOs. They play by different rule books.
But in 1993, that was accurate?
Yeah, because, yeah, mezcal did not have a DO. Now there's a DO for Bacanora.
Well, and in fact, there has been for a while, but my point being, simply in 1993,
yeah,
you could say all Bacanora is mezcal, but not all mezcal is Bacanora. See, I had a point to it.
Yeah. I see that. Okay. Yeah. Congratulations, Lou.
Thank you.
Full circle. But now that's not the case. Now Bacanora, if you're a Bacanora, you're nothing else.
Well, you're Bacanora.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so in 2004 is when they got their denomination of origin. And I'm not sure exactly when they started certifying, but the Sonoran Regulatory Council for Bacanora was established and now certifies you either as Bacanora or no. You fail the test. You're not Bacanora.
You're so agave spirits.
Right. So, okay, so then what does it mean to be Bacanora?
Another point of clarification. You were saying Sonora. Where the hell is Sonora? What Sonora?
Sonora. So Sonora is this rocket ship that goes to Mars.
Oh, Lord.
So Sonora is a state in Mexico that's in the north of Mexico.
Okay, and thank you very much.
Like, you can make Bacanora there. It's not everywhere in the state. It's only specific municipalities. And to qualify, I'm frantically trying to pull up my spreadsheet here. So to qualify as Bacanora, this agave spirit has to have been made from agave angustifolio haw. That's so weird. I hate that. It feels like they lost a syllable.
Angustifolia haw?
Haw.
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 That's fine.
It's an A.
Whatever. Okay, continue.
Okay. And then that agave has to have been grown and harvested by an accredited farm. Accredited farm located within that same geographical
restriction. Oh, that doesn't have another categories. The accredited farm part.
Not that I know of.
No, that's interesting. Okay.
Right. And so there are no restrictions in terms of how you make it.
What?
Yeah, there's no restrictions in terms of how you ferment, distill, mill, like
all
of
that. But it has to be 100% agave. That's established.
It does have to be 100% agave.
Okay, so you cannot be throwing sugar cane into the fermentation tanks.
Not legally.
Not legally. Okay.
Yeah. And it's got the same kinds of restrictions in terms of, you know, methanol, ethanol.
That's 142. That's NOM.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it conforms to that. And it's got to be bottled within one of those approved minutes. So very much like mezcal has to be bottled.
I do have another question. Can you make certified mezcal in Sonora?
No, you cannot.
So you think Bacchanora was their reaction about not being accepted to this club?
This is exactly what I want to talk about. I don't know, right? This is the thing that's kind of crazy about Bacchanora. And I've had actually, and
I know you're listening, Michael. And I know you know I'm talking about you now. I've had people yell at me for not knowing more about Bacchanora.
What do they want you to know?
Everything. I get it. Like, it's got to be frustrating if you are either somebody who makes it or you're somebody who's trying to import it into the U.S. and make a market of it, because nobody pays attention to Bacchanora. Let me ask you this. Right, Chava? You're Mexican.
Muy mexicano, ya.
You live in Mexico.
Correct.
You drink agave spirits. You talk, yes?
Yeah.
You talk glowingly about your trips to Durango, which is in the north of Mexico.
And Torreón, yeah.
Torreón. So tell me, how much time have you spent drinking Bacchanora?
I have I believe two bottles of Bacchanora.
You have two bottles?
Yes.
Oh, did you buy them at the store?
I found them in a crafts fair that happened in Mexico City. I do not believe that I ever had Bacchanora in an establishment. I have very limited experience. But everything I've had that was labeled Bacchanora was extremely fortunate.
Good.
Yes.
Was good. Okay. Which is great. And I would say the same thing, right? Like, I've basically had this the stuff that's being brought in by our friends, right? Arik and Michael. But that's it. And I don't know why exactly. I've had people invite me on trips, like when I go to the Agave Heritage Festival.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I went once. Right. And then there was a pandemic. But when I went down to the festival, I was invited by some folks to go down. And I couldn't make the time. When can I never not make the time to go to Mexico? You just jump over the. I'm sorry. So this festival takes place. Thank you. Takes place in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a 2 or 3 hour drive from there to jump just over the border. How did I not do it?
No, I'm confused. I was also almost hired to design a distillery there. And I received some pictures of a producer in that area. And they have extremely humble, all mezcaleros are tiny. But if you're talking
all mezcaleros are tiny?
No, well, like they have smaller operations. Like
is Zignum not a mezcalero?
I know, you're going to make a point about this.
Get to your point.
Yeah, my point being... Like, this is one of the smallest operations that I've seen in my life. They have, it's very limited production. So I think that maybe they just don't have the muscle. They don't produce enough to have brand recognition, and you don't get to see them in a lot of bars. It's just a matter of volume.
God, that's really interesting. Like, so the brands that I am familiar with, as I say, are brought in by my friends Michael and Arik. But...
I just saw the bottle there, and it says 680 liters batch.
Right.
Yeah,
but every time every time Bacchanora hits my radar outside of the stuff that my friends are importing, it always looks to me like it's trying to be tequila. It's these fancy brands, right? Like the first time it really hit my radar was when a friend of a friend reached out to our mutual friend to say, hey, that guy Lou, he knows something about mezcal, right? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of investing in this brand of Bacchanora. Does he know anything about it? Like that, right? And he sent me this whole, and this would have been like 5 years ago, this whole prospectus for this brand that wanted to hit the market, putting a ton of dollars behind it.
Maybe it has to do with the fact that, you know, like each state of Mexico has its own idiosyncrasies. That's a hard word in English.
Idiosyncrasies.
And the north, it's very akin of Jalisco. So, you know, like there's a lot of jokes in Mexico about how different we are going from the south to the north. So Jalisco and the north of Mexico, Sonora, tend to be more like well put together businessmen, group people. So maybe that's why you're getting that impression. Maybe the projects that are coming out of Sonora, they are more fond of the seriousness, business perspective, just
Maybe, but again, like, and that's interesting, but it still doesn't answer my real question, which is, why is nobody paying attention to Bacchanora?
Do you want to offer beautiful, authentic Mexican textiles or ceramics to your customers, but don't know where to get them? I've got a solution for that. What's that solution, you say? Not what, but who? The answer is Chava. Or maybe you want to start a mezcal brand, but don't know where to source your spirits. Same answer, Chava. Already have a brand? Chava. Want to build a more efficient distillery? Chava. That honors Mexican tradition? Chava. That leaves a smaller carbon footprint? Chava, Chava, Chava. Chava. Chava, Chava, Chava. Chava. For the Mexican solution to all your gringo problems, head to ChavaChavaChava.com. That's ChavaChavaChava.com. And tell him Lou sent you.
Why is nobody paying attention to Bacchanora? Oh,
maybe because there's too much. I mean, the whole.
But there's not a lot.
No. What I'm saying is the whole reasoning behind mezcal, for example, was to give one name to a lot of things to make it very strong in the market.
Oh, that's an interesting point. So in other words, initially mezcal was seven states?
It was five, then it came up to seven.
Oh, you had an interview this morning.
Told us this morning. Yeah. But and it took a while to catch up. Actually,
the guy
that we interviewed today was like, nobody will certify because they were like, okay, I certified, who the hell I'm gonna sell this thing to?
Because everybody still does it. Like, if you back then. So, God, like, not even back then. Let's not go all the way back to 93 when they started that.
Or 97. Well, let's go back to 2010.
Let's go to 2010. If you walk down the street in Chicago, which is a pretty mezcal-friendly town, walk down the street in Chicago and you asked 100 people, do you know what mezcal is? You would maybe get three people saying yes. But those three people... Two and a half of those people would say that's the stuff with the worm in it.
Exactly. So
and that was after, that's a really good point. That was after 16 years
of constant efforts of five to seven states pushing this drink.
And Ron Cooper going nose to nose for a significant portion of his life.
Yes.
Telling people, taste this mezcal, taste this mezcal. And like, who's doing that for Bacchanora?
I don't believe that a lot of people. So I think it might be a matter of time. And I think it's also... Let me say this.
Okay, let me say it, but I'm going to blow it up.
I think there is this process in which people are saying that in Mexico, there's not only tequila, mezcal, Bacchanora, sotol, charanda, sugarcane spirits, like a place that seemed to have only... to be one trick pony, like our only trick being tequila, suddenly turns out to be a pony with a lot of different skills. So
What?
Well, what I'm saying is,
are you somehow? I can't even make the joke I want to make. I would offend myself. Keep going.
So what I'm saying is, maybe people start thinking of Mexico as a source of a lot of different spirits. And then all these different things that I named and that some we love less, get their proper space in people's psyche and recognition in the marketplace.
Maybe, you know, but so the point that I was going to make that still kind of blows up what you're saying is there's still a lot of talk about Ricea. And that's only recently a DO. And I wonder if maybe that's, you know, here's a theory. When you go to Oaxaca, you can drink Ricea. Like, I can remember being introduced to Ricea by Marco Ochoa, right? I was blown away by it. But who's introducing you to Bacchanora unless you go...
Honestly, I think what they should be doing is use the word mezcal, say from Sonora. Mezcal from Sonora, which was an idea
But you can't.
I know, but that's how they... Like, this idea was given us by the guy that designed the NOM, and I... constantly think that's the best way to do it because otherwise you are diluting your message, you're diluting your brand. People don't have the time to be researching this stuff. Even we dedicate our lives to this and we don't even, well, parts of our lives.
a bit of our lives. And we even us are having a hard time following up on this stuff.
Well, okay, but the upshot of this episode cannot be, well, Mescal should not be a DO. Because we've already done that. Okay, like, right? That bullet has left the chamber. It's not going back in. So I think the upshot of this just is, pay more attention to Bacanora.
Well, and to a lot of the different spirits that are coming from Mexico.
But mainly Bacanora.
Lord.
People pay attention to Sotol. They pay attention to Ricea. If I go and hit the bars in Chicago, I can drink all of those. I don't know where I can go here to drink Bacanora.
Then I agree with you.
Really?
Yeah, finally. Okay. Yeah, for one. Okay.
Okay, you know what? Then let's just put a pin in that and call this episode okay. A wrap.
Adios.
Hasta pronto.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Periban. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pit Bulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too, and listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.